So hi everyone, my name is Mia and I'm here to tell you something about the weirdest bugs in history. Who knows what this thing is? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Oh, quite a few people. So the story starts in September 1999 at NASA Jet Propulsion Lab. So this is the Mars Climate Orbiter, which was one of the biggest projects of NASA. So this thing, basically, it's a robotic probe. It's about the size of a small car, and there are no astronauts on board, nothing, just a bunch of sensors and a bunch of electronics. And so it's something like a weather satellite for Mars. So the idea was that it would cruise to Mars, get into the orbit, and study the weather and climate there. And the team had been working on this for many years. So this was a huge project. It was kind of a big deal. It cost millions of dollars. And after 10 months of just traveling through space, it was finally getting there. So this was the deployment there. Everyone was watching it live on TV. And what was supposed to happen is that the orbiter was supposed to enter orbit and then come behind the Mars and say, hey, I made it. And so people were waiting. Everyone was watching it live on TV. And there was a silence. They were waiting for a few minutes, for a few hours, but there was nothing. There was absolutely no signal there. So what happened? At first, no one knew. They just didn't get any signal, but they had no idea why. What was supposed to happen is that it was supposed to be around 110 kilometers from Mars. However, at some point, they realized that it was 57 kilometers from Mars. So that means that it was very close to it, and that altitude, the Martian atmosphere just tore it apart. So it probably broke into pieces or burned up. No one actually knows. So what happened here? What could have pushed it so far off the course? So the spacecraft was built by an external contractor. So it was a team that built a spacecraft. And NASA had its own team that was operating it, right? So there were these two teams. And there was one piece of software that was calculating the force of thruster firings, and it was integrated with the navigation software that was used by the operation team. And they checked the numbers afterwards to realize what was happening, and all the numbers were right. But the meaning of them was off. It was off by a factor of 4.45. And then they realized where was the problem. So the software that was outputting those values was using pound for seconds, which is basically the imperial measure of impulse. And the navigation software that was reading the same data was using Newton seconds, which is metric. So basically, you had two teams. One team was producing some data. The second team was reading the data. And they thought they were using the same units, but they weren't. And think about it. This was a project that was running for months and for years. It was quite a big deal. And every time during the mission, when the orbiter's small thrusters fired to adjust its course, basically the data was misinterpreted. So you might be wondering, how is it possible? Like, this is such a stupid error. Well, this was mostly communication failure, because NASA's team just assumed that everything is in metric. They never actually checked it. And they didn't have any tests. They just assumed it's metric because, well, we use metric, so why not? And the worst part of it is that actually some people at NASA found some inconsistencies weeks before the failure. So they went and they reported to the management, but management said, no, that could not happen. It's impossible. And so this is what happened afterwards. Speaking of single mistakes that cause worldwide disruption. Imagine this, you're a developer at Google, one day you push a commit, it's a very small change, and what happens next? Every website in Google is marked as dangerous, including Google itself. So this is exactly what happened in 2002 when a Google engineer made one tiny typo. So for 40 minutes, every Google search said, this site might harm your computer. And even Gmail was affected, email started going straight to spam, and the best part is there's only one service that wasn't affected, which is the ads. And they're now appearing randomly on my slides too, because the ads are everywhere and undestroyable. You might be wondering why not the ads. I have no idea. I guess ads always work. So what went wrong? Well, one of the engineers was updating the malware registry, which is basically just a list of dangerous websites. And instead of entering a specific URL, they accidentally added just one character, which is a forward slash. And in technical terms, this means everything. So you might be wondering, did they have tests? Well, they didn't. But not every bug needs fixing, and some bugs are so iconic that they actually never get fixed. Who knows the game Civilization? Oh, quite a lot of people. So it's a strategy game where you build and grow civilization and you're competing against historical leaders like Napoleon, Cleopatra, or Genghis Khan. And then there's Gandhi. It's a leader known for peace, for diplomacy, and at first everything seemed normal. Gandhi preferred negotiations over war, just as you would expect. But as players progressed through the game and civilizations became more advanced, they actually started noticing something strange. The moment Gandhi unlocked atomic technology, he started dropping nukes on everyone. So why did this happen? Well, popular story says that developers gave Gandhi the lowest aggression rating because he was the most peaceful diplomat, right? And later in the game, when all civilizations became more peaceful, the game automatically lowered all aggression scores. So because his score was 1, when it lowered, it became -1, which is basically in binary, the highest possible number. And now here comes the plot twist, actually. So many people know this story, and actually it's not true. How this started is that it started at Reddit. Someone made a joke about it. Hey, Gandhi is throwing nukes. And game developers thought, well, actually, this is a really good joke. People are, you know, tweeting about it. I guess there was no Twitter back then, but whatever was there. And they said, let's maybe ride the wave. Let's use it. So let's introduce the bug. So because people were making jokes on Reddit, they introduced the bug. And so that's how a myth became a joke. And it never got fixed. In the mid-90s, a new employee at Sun Microsystems in California kept mysteriously disappearing from the database. People started investigating what's wrong with the database, with the application software, just to realize that the system wasn't with the software, it was with his name. His name was Steve Null. And it turns out that back in the 80s, lots of systems didn't know how to parse the string null properly. Of course, I tried to reproduce it in Postgres. That was the first thing I did. And it works fine. However, you can find still bugs like this in various super old systems. So for example, I found an open issue in Apache Flex, which has been open for over like 15 years. And we all know this urban legend. I have absolutely no idea if this is true. If anyone knows, please tell me. So this is a person who changed their license plate to drop database to attempt an SQL injection attack. And speaking of SQL injection attacks, I cannot not to mention this comic. Hi, this is your son school. We are having some computer trouble. Oh dear, did he break something? In a way, did you really name your son Robert Job Table Student? Oh yes, Little Bobby Tables we call him. Well, we've lost this year's students' records. I hope you're happy. And I hope you've learned to sanitize your database inputs. And sometimes it's not a problem just with SQL injection attacks, but it's a problem with lots of data that is testing data or looks like testing data, but it's not. So there are lots of systems that just remove data that looks like testing data. For example, everything which starts with test or which starts with ABCDE. And if you're now thinking, well, ABCD, isn't that like testing data? Well, actually, I have some news for you. Between 1990 and 2020, over 300 babies in the US have been called ABCDE. I can imagine how well it goes in modern software. For a long time, we thought that the most expensive book ever was Codex Leicester. This was a book written by Leonardo da Vinci in the 16th century. And it was later bought by Bill Gates for $30.8 million in 1994. So this was a book filled with the thoughts of one of history's greatest minds, handwritten pages of scientific observations and ideas that were centuries ahead of time. So what kind of book would have to be that record, like some rare manuscript or some historical book? Well, actually, in 2011, a book appeared on Amazon with a price tag of $23.7 million. So you might be wondering what kind of book it is. Well, it was a book about the genetic development of flies. And just like the cover, it's a bug, too. So how did it happen? So on Amazon, there are third-party sellers, and they can set their pricing rules based on competitors. So for example, you can have a rule, always be 0.07% cheaper than the next lowest price, or always be 27% more expensive than the lowest option. And if you have lots of people there, it works fine because they sort of balance each other. However, the problem here was that there were only two sellers. So what happened is that those got stuck in a loop. So every time the algorithm ran, one went up, the second one went up, and again, until the book was listed for 23.7 million. And as soon as people noticed, the problem was fixed and price dropped back to normal. Our field can sometimes seem mysterious to outsiders. When WhatsApp said the maximum number of people in a group chat, the Independent reported it with the comment, WhatsApp increases group chat size limit to 256 people. It's not clear why WhatsApp set it on such an oddly specific number. And speaking of 256, did you know that trains in Switzerland weren't allowed to have 256 axles? Axle is this thing, so basically, which connects the wheels.
Do we have anyone
to verify it? So, to keep track of trains on the Swiss Rail network, they place detectors along the rails, and these sensors would activate when a wheel passed over them and count the number of wheels. So, these detectors store the axle count in an 8-bit number. So, of course, when the count reaches 255, if you add one more, it rolls it to zero, which basically means that the train is a phantom train. And if you check Swiss railway regulation, you will find a section which states exactly that. The total number of axles in a train must not equal 256. This is actual. Sometimes it's hard to say what is a bug and what is a feature. Take Excel, for example. All of us use it. In 2016, researchers in Melbourne analyzed 18 genome research journals and found that 90.6 of gene studies contained errors. Well, did you know there are genes that are called MART5 or SEP15? Excel didn't, so of course it auto-corrected them to date. And also around 90% of business spreadsheets contain errors, says the European Spreadsheet Risks Interest Group. Yes, there is a non-profit in Europe that analyzes errors in spreadsheets. There's a story about JP Morgan who used spreadsheet to calculate risk. There is something called value at risk, which means what's the most money we could lose in a single day with 95% certainty. And you can have it low, which means you can take higher risk, or you can have it high, meaning that the risk should be low. And there was one specific calculation that was done in a series of spreadsheets. And those spreadsheets had some math errors. And there was another control group that was making sure that the spreadsheets are correct. And they also had errors. And what happened is actually that it got so bad that one employee started their own unofficial spreadsheet just to track it, because all of them were full of bugs. And by the time they caught the mistake, it was too late. And they published a report that says, after subtracting the old rate from the new rate, the spreadsheet divided their sum instead of their average. This error muted volatility by a factor of 2 and lowered the value at risk. What does it mean? This is super complicated. What does it mean is that JP Morgan lost $6 billion just because someone added two numbers instead of averaging them in a spreadsheet. And sometimes a bug doesn't cause a disaster. Sometimes it just deletes your whole operating system. Bumblebee was a project designated to enable NVIDIA dual GPU support on Linux laptops, allowing users to offload graphics rendering to the discrete GPU. Everything was working fine until one update in 2011. A user created a GitHub issue with a rather urgent message, install script does RMRF user for Ubuntu. So basically what happened is that they wanted to delete some specific folder called xorg, but instead of it there was an empty space after user, so that means that basically it just wiped out the core of the operating system. And the author quickly pushed a fix with a commit message, giant bug causing user to be deleted, so sorry. And of course, this being open source, the community did not hold back in the comment section, so you could find 884 comments on the commit. How can you complain about bugs, Mr. Anderson, when you have no operating system? Bleeding edge really bleeding for someone now. No more lack of disk space now. I don't like that folder anyway. I'm Mia Bajic. Thank you for your attention.